Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason, one of the pastors. Grateful that you're with us as we continue on in our Advent series. And I know this morning is going to be very practically helpful to us as we look at Philippians chapter 4. Because if you're anything like me, the conversations that you've had, even this morning, over the last several days, point to the reality that we live in an unsteady and an uneasy world. Like, I mean, the stress of this season of year, the difficulties relationally that we experience, even walking through hard times of the experience of loss, all of these things remind us of a great need that we have in Jesus. Like, there's an unsteadiness, not just that's out there, but, like, we experience it. You experience it, don't you? I mean, maybe it's an uneasiness, you know, in the workplace, like not knowing if your job's going to be there this time next year. Maybe it's just the unsurety about the future, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. Maybe it's just the concern for your children or walking through the loss of someone that you care deeply about. Like, all of these experiences remind us that just on an intuitive level, like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Like, something deep within us knows that the experience that we have in this unsteadiness and this uneasiness about our life, it reminds us that this isn't the way the world's supposed to be. And so that's why the passage that we look at this morning is so valuable, so helpful, so practical to us, because the Advent season is this reminder every year for those who trust Jesus, who follow after Jesus. It's a reminder to us that God stepped into our existence, walked among us in order to do something about the uneasy, unsteady experience that we all have. I mean, this is why Advent's so practically helpful, to cause us to stand back away from the circumstance in order to look to God himself. That God has stepped into our world not to make our difficult circumstances just kind of magically disappear and evaporate, but instead to show us how we could experience peace in the midst of it. Like that this is a hard world in which we live. And the promise of God in Christ is that we can experience peace that comes from him. We all experience anxious worry. Like, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We all walk through periods, seasons, moments of time where we're experiencing anxious worry. And in the midst of that, God wants to let us know that we can experience his peace. And so Advent provides a remedy for our anxious worry. That's what we need to see this morning. Advent provides a remedy for our anxious worry. And it does that by reminding us of the great truths of the gospel. This message, Advent is a good news message about what God has done in and through Jesus. And so as we think on the great truths of the gospel, we'll see how Advent becomes a remedy for our anxious worry. And so the first thing that we discover is that the gospel anchors a joy that is not bound by our circumstance. Look again at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He gives us a command to rejoice, to find joy. And this idea of joy, as one author has put it, paints a picture of a spiritual buoyancy Like this, you think of a buoy that's out on the water, and as the tide raises and lowers, so does that buoy. Joy becomes that sort of experience for the disciple of Jesus. That it creates this spiritual buoyancy when we experience the highs of the high and the lows of the low. When we experience those things, we can have a joy that's found in Jesus, that's bound up with him. So part of what he wants us to see is that the joy for the disciple of Jesus is not bound up in your circumstance. It's not bound up in your difficulty. It's not bound up in your sadness. It's not bound up with your heartache. It's also not bound with your happiness, with those moments, those peaks. It's not bound in the valleys, and it's not bound by the peaks. But instead, he says, rejoice always in the Lord. The phrase in the Lord is to give us a picture of where we're to find this kind of joy. This joy that anchors the soul. This joy that creates for the believer a hope for the future. It's this picture of a joy that's not bound by the good things that are happening, and therefore it's also not bound by the lows, even the dark times of life. That there can be a sense of joy that is experienced. What he wants us to see is that joy is this deep reservoir that provides assurance and security. And there can be this assurance and this security that's bound up in the Lord. It's not tied to our circumstance, but instead it's tied to the Lord himself. And so when we experience the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, we can still find this anchor because of the gospel itself. Like because of this message about what God has done in and through Jesus, we can have an experience of assurance and security because my standing before God himself is sure. My standing before God himself is secure. That's good news. Because the reality is we're all going to experience anxious worry. And so this is good news to us because joy is bound up not in our circumstance, but it's bound up in the Lord and his promises. It's not bound up in circumstance. So we can't forget the circumstance of these Philippian believers. Every time that Paul tells them to rejoice or to find joy or to have their joy be made complete, it's always in the context of difficult circumstance. Rejoice, even though there are some of you who are preaching the gospel for selfish motives. Make your joy complete by being of the same mind, even though there are some within the church that are at odds with one another. Rejoice and find joy in the coming of Epaphroditus, who almost died for the cause of the gospel. And so what he wants us to see is that this joy that we can experience, this security and this assurance that we can have in the Lord himself isn't bound up in our circumstance, but it's bound up in who God is and in the promises that he gives to his people. It's rooted in the great truths of the gospel. And so that's why he starts by reminding us to what he said in chapter 3, verse 20. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so he says, you need to be thinking on the great truths of the gospel that you can have joy in all of your circumstance. What are those great truths of the gospel? It begins with the Advent season. It begins by remembering Jesus stepped into our world, became flesh, dwelt, and walked among us. And he did that so that all who would place faith and trust in him would now find their citizenship in heaven. That we would have our reality more shaped by who God is and the reality of what he's done in through Jesus That we would know that our standing before God Himself, our standing, our footing within the family of God is sure and it's secure. And so if we're going to be able to experience joy in the midst of difficult circumstances, and you will have difficulty in this life, you will have and experience anxious worry, the way that we can, he can call us to rejoice always is by reminding us that our joy is bound up in God, and our joy is bound up in the great truths of what He's done in and through Jesus, not in our circumstance. And so again, remember, He doesn't say that if you walk these, if you do steps 1, 2, and 3, that your anxious worry is just going to melt away. That's not at all the promise of the gospel. No, what He says is anxious worry is going to come your way. We know it's going to come our way because that's what it was like for the Philippian believers. And so it's going to come our way, but in the midst of it, we can look to the Lord and we have this sure, secure confidence in who He is and all that He's promised. Advent provides a remedy for our anxious worry. First, because the gospel anchors a joy that's not bound to our circumstance. Secondly, the gospel enables a steadiness in the Lord. Look again at verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That word reasonableness is translated in a lot of different ways in all of the major translations in English. Reasonableness here in the ESV. Many other translations have gentleness. Some even have the word forbearance. What is Paul trying to help us understand as he uses this unique word? Like, that's what translators tell us. This is an extremely difficult word to translate into English language. So what is he trying to help us see? What he wants us to see is that there can be a steadiness about our lives because of the gospel itself. That there can be a steadiness. Instead of reacting to the highs and to the lows in an unsteady, unreasonable way, like instead of seeing the conflict of Yodi and Syntyche that happens a couple of verses before this one, instead of seeing those kinds of conflict and responding in unreasonable ways, he says, no, the great truths of the gospel will allow us to live a life that's steady. And we won't have to live and die by the highs and lows. That when the highs and lows come your way, you'll remember the great truths of the gospel. And in that, then, you'll have this power source to show your reasonableness, your gentleness, your forbearance. You'll be able to respond to them in a way that honors the Lord, that points people beyond yourself to Him. You'll be able to be steady because the Lord Himself is steady. Like, that's the great truth of the gospel that will enable us to live steady lives. Because it's not bound to our circumstance, which is uneasy and unstable and unsteady, but it is instead tied to the Lord Himself, who in and of Himself is steady and sure. He's a rock that cannot be moved. He's a firm foundation that does not waver, that does not shake. And as we remember who God is and we remember our standing before Him, that we're a part of His family, that He's for us, not against us, as we remember those things, it will enable us and provide a way for us to live lives of steadiness. And as that happens, then, it will be made known to everyone that we're relying upon the Lord. I mean, when we start to rely on the Lord in such a way that we're not living and dying by the highs and lows, the peaks and the valleys, people will begin to wonder, what makes you tick? Like, you're not cold-hearted. You're not numb to your circumstance. You're grieving. You're experiencing loss just like everyone else. You're walking through hard times. You don't have the future mapped out. And yet there's something different about the way that you're responding to your circumstance. It's because you're not trusting in the circumstance. You're not looking to the circumstance to define how you feel about your life and about your world. Instead, you found yourself bound up with God himself. And God is steady. God is sure. God is at ease. And again, this is the context of this letter amplifies this message all the more. Like, there's conflict that's happening in this church. These two women are at odds with one another, Yodia and Syntyche. There's division, there's strife, there's uneasiness, there's an unsteadiness. They've got detractors on the outside. They've got people who are oppressing them and are bringing suffering on them because they hate them for their commitment to Jesus. All of this is taking place. And in the midst of it, the Apostle Paul says that you can experience a steadiness that comes because of who God is. And so we have to have appropriate expectations. Again, you must understand, there is never one time a promise in the scripture that says once you come to Jesus, you won't experience anxious worry. If that's your expectation, then you are sunk. But instead, the promise of God himself is that you will have him. You will have this steady, faithful God. And knowing and dwelling and thinking on him, it will affect you so that the gospel will enable you not to be dominated by your circumstance. Because isn't that what happens? In the highs and in the lows. We're elated in the highs. It dominates us. We're euphoric. But we're also dominated in the lows, aren't we? I mean, it does a number on us. It affects us. I mean, it wrecks us at times. And what he wants to say is, coming to Jesus doesn't make any of that magically disappear, but a growing confidence in God himself, his sure, stable reality, a growing confidence in him, will enable you to not be dominated by your circumstance. And so how will you respond? That's the question. How will you respond? What Paul wants to say is that if you'll think on the great truths of the gospel, then you'll know that you can respond by running to the Lord. Advent provides a remedy for our anxious worry. It does that because the gospel anchors a joy that's not bound to our circumstance. The gospel enables a steadiness that's found and bound up in the Lord and not our circumstance. And then thirdly, the gospel allows us to experience the peace of God. Anxious worry will come. I've had so many conversations over the last couple weeks that I know there are many in this room who are sitting in the midst of anxious worry, who have experienced loss, who are going through difficult times and circumstance. Anxious worry will come. And when it comes, there's an invitation to go one of two ways. When anxious worry comes, our tendency is to press into the anxious worry. And so we think about it. We ruminate on it. We are churning over it. We're trying to figure out a way out. We're trying to figure out how to take control, how to plan, how to scheme so that we can eliminate the anxious worry. And so what does it do? It dominates us. It dominates our thought life. Dominates our hearts. It dominates everything about us. When we're not thinking about something we have to be thinking about, we're thinking about anxious worry. Like, that's our experience, isn't it? I mean, it happens all the time in all kinds of different ways. I mean, I've seen that in my own experience in this past week. Like, there's something that is true for parents, and that is it's extremely difficult to watch your children suffer, to watch them hurt, to feel like they've been wronged. And I understand why helicopter parenting happens, because I want to swoop in and I want to rescue them. Like, I want to fix it. I want to hurt the people that have hurt them. I want to take matters into my own hands. I want to come up with a plan and a scheme, and I'm going to fix it, at least I think. Like, that happens for all of us, doesn't it? Difficult times come, and we find ourselves kind of left to our own devices to try to figure out how to make heads and tails of it, how to move forward. That's one way that we can respond when anxious worry comes. But the Apostle Paul wants us to remember that the Lord's at hand, that God's near. And because God's near, we can respond differently. Look again at verse 6. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anxious worry will come, and you can press into it. You can churn on it. You can let it dominate your thoughts and your emotions, take control of your life. But the Apostle Paul says there's another way that you could respond, that you could press into the Lord. That you could press into the Lord and you could pray and let all of your requests be made known to Him. You can press into the Lord through prayer because the Lord's near. He's reminding us that He cares, that He's concerned, that isn't that what the Advent season is a reminder to us about? Like, we struggle with anxious worry, and that's why Advent is so necessary for us, because we need a season of year to concertedly remember that God came near because He cares. He's concerned. He loves. And so it's interesting to note the extreme contrast here. Be anxious in nothing, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God. I mean, the sharp and drastic and extreme contrast. Be anxious in nothing, because there are going to be lots of reasons for you to be anxious. There are lots of legitimate reasons right now in your life for you to be anxious. It would be normal and natural to be anxious. But he says, don't be anxious about anything. Why? Because in everything you can let your requests be made known to God. And because of who He is, because of what He's done in and through Jesus, the great truths of the gospel, we can trust that He hears and that He will indeed respond in our moment of need. And so there's this problem that arises. Anxious worry will come your way. How will you respond? Will you continue to press into the anxious worry, allowing it to dominate you? Or will you trust God at His word? Will you press into Him? Will you let your requests be made known to Him? He uses all these different words for prayer just to amplify the fact that we can turn it over to God, that we can lay it at His feet, that we can let it be known. Like, we can press into the anxious worry, we can let it consume us, we can think on it, we can talk about it, we can, you know, just churn on it over and over and over again, or we can think about the great truths of the gospel and ask the Lord to do something in us. It made me think of a quote from the Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in a former life, was a medical doctor. He became a pastor and is known as one of the most significant, prominent preachers of the 20th century. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones struggled for most of his adult life with depression. And this is what he had to say in light of that kind of anxious worry. He says, "Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You've not originated them, but they're talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody, something is talking to you." What his point is that's what anxious worry does. It creates this inner dialogue, this dialogue that we have with ourselves, where it's dominating our thoughts and our actions and our emotions. He says the remedy is not to listen to ourselves. The remedy is to talk to ourselves, to speak the great truths of the gospel. Like, the remedy is not to churn on the anxious worry. He says the remedy is to remember the great truths of the gospel, of who God is, what he's done on your behalf, that he's for you, and that you can lay all of your requests at his feet. And as you do that, you can experience God's peace. It's important to see the connection here. You will never experience God's peace. You will never experience the peace of God if you're not constantly laying your requests at his feet. Like, doing what I often do, taking matters into my own hands, churning over and over, trying to find a way out, Paul says, I'll never experience the peace of God by doing that. But we can lay our requests at his feet. We can make them known. And as that happens, he says, we can experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. What good news. And we can lay our requests at his feet. He hears us. He does something about it. And we experience peace because what we've done, see, you have to understand it's not like he's describing some sort of like mystical spiritual secret here. There's a connection. When you let your requests be made known to God, what you're doing is you're saying, I trust you. I have confidence in you. I mean, that's what you're doing when you're turning that over. You're saying, I don't trust myself any longer. Like, I can't manage this. I can't figure it out. I can't find a way out of it. And so I trust you. And so when you begin to trust God and you grow in your trust for God, of course you're going to experience his peace. Because the peace of God, it's bound up with him. It comes from him. And this is interesting because he says, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. So he uses four different words to describe prayer, and he says this should happen with thanksgiving. Notice he doesn't say that thanksgiving comes when the Lord has granted your request. He says, no, as you're letting your requests be made known to God, do that with thanksgiving. That's the key. Because when you do it with thanksgiving, you turn it over to the Lord. What you're doing is saying, I trust you. However you respond to this request, I'm going to trust you. And so your confidence and your surety of the Lord, it's not based upon him being your little personal genie in a bottle. Like He granted my request, and so now I trust him. No, like we trust in him because of who he is, because of what he's done in and through Jesus. And so no matter how he responds to this request, I know that he cares. I know that he has my best interest at heart. And so there's the idea of experiencing God's peace is that there is a confidence and a trust in God himself. And so do you see how Advent provides a remedy for our anxious worry? God came near. He stepped in. He provides a joy that's not bound up in your circumstance. He provides a means by which you can experience a steadiness in this life that points beyond yourself because you didn't do it. God did. So your reasonableness is made known to everyone. And then you get to experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Like, it makes no sense, but it meets you just in the moment of need that you have. But if you want to experience the peace of God, it begins by experiencing peace with God. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you want to experience the peace of God, it begins by you experiencing peace with God. And you can do that by giving your life to Jesus. Maybe this morning you are very much aware of the anxious worry that has been churning in your mind and your heart in the recent days. And you want something to be done about it. It's going to start by you giving your life to Jesus, trusting him at his word, turning from all of your abilities, your attempts to take matters into your own hands, your attempts to play God, and instead trusting God at his word, trusting Jesus, the great truths of the gospel, this good news about what God has done in and through Jesus. He walked among us. He did for us what we can't do for ourselves. He provided a way to rescue us through his life, death, and resurrection, that you could come into the family of God, that you could have peace with God, be a part of the family of God, and experience the peace of God. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're a disciple of Christ, you're following after Jesus, then we need to be the kinds of people who are living in light of the great truths of the gospel. Like we have to constantly draw our minds. We have to stop listening to ourselves, and we have to start speaking to ourselves. We have to speak to ourselves the great truths of the gospel. Because there are going to be moments in the coming days, probably the coming hours or minutes today, when anxious worry is going to come your way. And you're going to have to rehearse the great truths of the gospel so that you can trust God and not be overwhelmed and undone by your anxious worry. That's going to happen as you spend time with him. Like if you want to rehearse the great truths of the gospel that are going to be a remedy that can counteract the anxious worry that plagues us, then it's going to come as you grow in a confidence of who he is. And the only way you're going to grow in a confidence of who he is if you spend time with him. So that's why in the coming year, we're inviting you to take time to daily commune with the Lord in his word. And so we're going to have a Bible reading plan. Very simple. We just want to encourage you on a regular basis, a daily basis, to spend some time with the Lord, reading his word, hearing from him, and then spending time praying, spending time talking to him. And so what an opportunity for us to invest in our spiritual growth and development, thinking on the great truths of the gospel. Instead of churning over the anxious worry, finding moments in our day where we're going to spend time with him. We're going to think on him. We're going to allow him to change and transform us from the inside out. We need to focus our minds and hearts on the great truths of the gospel. And as that happens, like, it's not to be a solo endeavor. Like, this is why we're constantly talking about the need for gospel community, because you and I need help. We need help. We need help in the moments at the peak. We need help in the moments in the valley. Like, we need people who can speak words of truth, because our tendency when anxious worry comes to our door is to listen. And so we need other people who have some perspective, who can speak into our world, who can help us see clearly. Like, you're just, I know you're hurting right now. You're not believing, you're believing lies. I know you're hurting right now. But you need to turn your eyes to the Lord. Like, we need those kinds of people. So maybe this coming year, like, this is the time for you to take a step and get engaged in gospel community. You need others and they need you. Like, don't just think about it in a selfish way, like what you're going to get from it. Remember that in the same way that you're going to need someone else, they're going to need you. And so here's an opportunity to engage in gospel community. That's why we talk so much about partnership, because we want to create a family here at Life Connection. Family of brothers and sisters who care for one another, who are challenging one another, who are encouraging one another, who are spurring one another on to love and good deeds, the writer of Hebrews says, who aren't neglecting the gathering together, who are sitting under the teaching of God's word, who are serving together, who are loving one another well. Like, all of those things, like, so we want to be the kind of church who is experiencing gospel community, and that only comes as, as we press into the Lord, as we grow up in Him and we trust Him at His Word. And He has told us that He's wired us for this kind of community. As we live as that kind of gospel community together, then we're going to be enabled to live for His mission. If you've experienced the peace of God, it's because you've experienced peace with God. And if you've experienced peace with God, now God wants to use you to help others experience the same. I think maybe it's the first great supernatural pyramid scheme. You know, God wants what He's done in you, He wants to do through you. And so you're experiencing something of His peace. That's precisely so that you can help others. And so we get to live for His mission. That's why we've been talking about the Christmas Eve service and this opportunity to invest in people prayerfully, to invest in them relationally, inviting them into a context where they could hear the gospel of Jesus with an opportunity to respond. And so who are those people that you're praying for, that you're going to invite, that they might be able to hear the great truths of the gospel and maybe, just maybe, have their lives changed forever? That's why we're taking part in the Hope for the City offering, because we want to invest financially in ways that are going to allow more people to find, to hear the message that will bring peace with God. And so every dollar that we raise is going towards Great Commission initiatives that are going to enable men and women locally and globally to be able to hear the message of Jesus. And that's why we take part in the Lord's Supper every week. Every week. We end this way, not by happenstance or because we don't have any better ideas. We end this way deliberately. Because if you're like me, most of your week has been spent listening to yourself. And we need to have some places, like there's no place in our culture where what we're doing right now happens. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you know that this is precisely why it's so needed and necessary. Because we need to have moments of time where we're gathered together, having our minds and our hearts drawn towards the Lord. And that's what the Lord's Supper does. It reminds us of the great truths of the gospel. So corporate worship isn't something I have to do. It's a means of grace to us. It's a means of grace because I slow down. And so this is what I want to ask you to do. I want in this moment, the next few moments that we have, for you to slow down. And what I want you to do is to let your request be made known to God. Like, let's take God at His word. He's inviting us to lay all of those requests at His feet. And so I know there's anxious worry in your life right now. And so would you just let those requests be made known to Him? For some, maybe the starting point is giving your life to Jesus, finding peace with God. Might this be the moment where for the very first time you cross the line of faith and you say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm giving Him my all. And then as we've let those requests be made known to God, would you come forward and would you remind yourselves of the reason that you can let those requests be made known to God? Because God came near, dwelt among us, gave up His life, His body broken, His blood shed, as the very means that you and I can experience His grace. And because we can experience His grace, we know that Advent provides a remedy for all of our anxious worry. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your kindness. God, as we come to the table, we're reminded of Your kindness to us in Jesus. I know there are friends in this room who are struggling, who are hurting. We don't know how to make heads from tails. God, might this be a moment where they experience Your peace. That they would let their request be made known to You, and would You in a very tangible, palpable way, provide peace for them in this moment. And so, God, we respond by faith, trusting you at your word. Grow us in a confidence that's bound up in who you are, what you're like, and all that you've said and done and promised. God, we thank you for your kindness, and we pray this by Jesus' name. Amen.